Because seriously, when's the last time you were sober enough to wake up at 5:30 a.m. to listen live? Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. There's nothing wrong with a little healthy debate, but just in case, let's hide the knives. Greg Brady, Andrew Walker, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yes, Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We stream across the planet, which sounds bigger than the globe, but it's the same thing, on sportsnet590.ca. And, of course, podcasts available for free this Christmas season at iTunes. Greg Brady, Andrew Walker. It's, of course, a post-morning Toronto Raptors celebratory moment. Last night was Drake night. That's actually a verb. If you went to the Air Canada Center last night, you were draked, basically, in essence. Everyone got a T-shirt. It takes a lot. Like, if I showed up somewhere, I like to kind of keep that low profile. I can't imagine. It's your night, and your face and your name are on 18,000 T-shirts that are going out to people of all ages. For the holiday season, people of all creeds, people of all colors, and your face and your name are on it. Like, a wedding is narcissistic enough, right? Everybody gets married, and it's kind of about you, and you think nothing's bigger than this. Everyone's here for me and my wife, my future wife. Of course, congratulating, my parents and my wife's parents on what a great job they did raising us, getting us through the peaks and valleys and the crevices. Last night was Drake night because fill in the blanks. He's special. He's cool. Did he win a Grammy? Recent? No. Was it his birthday? Because some people love to celebrate their own birthday. You know that person that's out there, and it's a great thing to come to your workplace. If you're like me, you love coming to your workplace, and you get through the day. No one knows it's your birthday. You can still do something for your birthday that night. And it doesn't have to be necessarily be a milestone birthday. You don't have to turn 30. You don't have to turn 40. Well, last night was just a night to celebrate Drakiness. And if you were watching the broadcast last night, Drake joined Matt Devlin and Jack Armstrong with about 3 minutes left in the game. And then all of a sudden, all these whistles started. And it was honestly like being drowned. Like, I don't know what it's like being waterboarded. It is a form of torture. There's no question that the U.S. engaged in it. Dick Cheney's still a fan of it. He's an advocate of waterboarding, but that's a little bit what it was like last night. You are a man overboard, and your arms are just flailing to get yourself to overtime or get yourself to halftime. You want to flip. You want to do anything. Anyway, Drake and the Toronto Raptors won last night. No doubt inspired. No doubt inspired. And they're undefeated now on Drake night too. That's the big thing. 2-0 in their career, I believe. They had a 105-89 victory, another dominant fourth quarter, and Kyle Lowry was very, very good. I don't know all the basketball advanced stats, but there is talk that Kyle Lowry, and they don't do this, and they probably shouldn't, is having, at least in the Eastern Conference, an MVP season. And he has been very, very good. We've joked on this show before about, well, you wouldn't trade Kyle Lowry for Kyrie Irving. I said that to Andrew, or you wouldn't trade, he would not trade Kyle Lowry for Kyrie Irving, and you're gaining an awful lot of years there with Kyrie, aren't you? Who was actually bad last night, all the Cleveland Cavaliers were when they lost at home to the Atlanta Hawks by about 20 points. But stat-wise, it's been an unbelievable run for Kyle Lowry, and that doesn't mean it's all consistency out of the gate. That does not mean that from minute one through minute 48, he's outplaying his competitors. We know there were a few games last year in the playoffs, game six specifically. What did Kyle Lowry shoot last year in game six? Chance to clinch in Brooklyn, 4-for-20. And Deron Williams just went off on him. And Deron Williams was kind of owning him for a little bit last night. But Lowry finished strong and had a very good second half. 12 assists, 2 turnovers, had the 20 points. And finally, they got some bench scoring in the second quarter. It was kind of dry for the most part in the first half. And I think Brooklyn's going to be a playoff team. I'd call that a good win last night. I really would. Brooklyn was at home against Miami the night before. The Raptors now lead the Atlantic Division by 9 games. 9. They've played 26. There's 4 other teams in the division. This isn't even like the NFL, where it's kind of hard to celebrate a division title in the NFL. You get a lot of perks, you get a lot of bonuses, but it's very, very difficult to pull off. We're going to go to Now and Then with Ryan Favreau in a little bit. We have a big, big show. Jeremy Roenick will be on it. Bernie Nichols will be on it. Nick Kyprios will be on it.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Everything you're talking about, they're talking about. Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Brady and Walker. Andrew Walker's off today. Greg Brady here until 9 o'clock. Jeff Blair will be in at that point in time. The Leafs will play against the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. They're the worst team in hockey. It's not an opinion. That's a numerical statistic, advanced or otherwise. Leafs have won 6 straight. Carolina has lost 6 straight. We'll get to Now and Then coming up in a little bit. You know, everyone's talking about this movie, The Interview. And maybe you didn't know the backstory from it, but Sony was hacked. The website was hacked by, well, you know, hackers. And they broke in and stole a bunch of passwords. And there were There was basically kind of mayhem on the internet about some emails that got revealed and whatnot. But the purported Guardians of Peace, who are these hackers, an anonymous group, have never seen them. They don't have flag. You know, they're not scaring people like ISIS are. And ISIS is quite legit. You have reason to be scared, to be perfectly honest. You see an ISIS flag in your neighborhood. I'm not even being funny. You're running for the hills. If your FedEx truck pulls down your laneway today with an ISIS flag on it, it's best not to accept the package, right? So the Guardians of Peace, though, sent an ominous message yesterday. And they quoted the message in, you know, big time publications like Variety, right? That's the trade magazine that handles movies and music and TV, The Hollywood Reporter. And this movie was Seth Rogen and James Franco, who've been paired up a lot in the last few years, are journalists, and they're involved in a CIA plot to assassinate a Kim Jong-un, the son of Kim Jong-il, who's the North Korean leader. And the message says, quote, keep yourself distant from theaters showing the comedy. There's a huge billboard for it. As you get off that the DVP on and you're coming onto Blur downtown, everybody sees it. It's still up this morning. And the quote is, how bitter a fate those who seek fun and terror should be doomed to. It's full of grammatical errors. There's lots of problems with it. This is like, you would not hire this person if their LinkedIn page had this many errors. The quote, soon all the world will see what an awful movie Sony Pictures Entertainment has made. The world will be full of fear. Remember the 11th of September 2001. So basically, stay away and don't go see The Interview. And the U.S. Department of Homeland Security said there's no credibility to this threat. We can't find anything, any chatter, anything at all that indicates there's an active plot against movie theaters. But basically, movie theaters and chains started panicking yesterday. There's no other explanation for it. And they started saying, we won't show the movie. Oh, you won't show the movie? Okay, we won't show the movie either. And it got up here, obviously, to Canada, where Cineplex said they will not put that movie in the theaters next week. So that's where we are. It's unbelievable. Seth Rogen and James Franco had pulled out of all media appearances yesterday. Rogen was supposed to be on Late Night with Seth Meyers tonight. He's not going to be, quite obviously. That's it. There's no movie. This was a highly promoted movie. Movies come out Christmas Day. We all know there's people that like to go see movies and eat Chinese food on Christmas Day. Well, this would have been one of the movies that they went and saw. I think you can still order Chinese food on Christmas Day. 5:48, Ryan Favreau's in. Would you make, you saw some of this happening. What'd you make of this story? I've never seen anything like it. We had that Team America World Police movie come out a few years ago. And then The Dictator, even a few years ago, made fun of North Korea. Nobody wanted to nobody wanted to kill Sacha Baron Cohen. Very strange.
I didn't want to see the movie anyway, so I'm not bored. But I'm just blown away by the story. It's nuts.
Are you now more inclined to want to see the movie? Because that seemed to be everybody's perspective.
I think so.
How bad can it be, and how much of a joke towards towards North Korea can it be?
I don't know who does this thing with their time. Like, is this is a big deal? Like, this movie is making people do these crazy things. I don't know.
If you had
I do want to see it more now.
You do want to see it more now.
I didn't want to see it before, but now I want to see it.
If you had an online terrorist group say, you know what, we've isolated a target, and that target is the World Junior Hockey Tournament. Stay away from the World Junior Hockey Tournament. We will attack if you go to the World Junior Hockey Tournament. I don't think they'd cancel the World Junior Hockey Tournament. I got a weird feeling they'd go ahead with it, with all the hype and the crying kids leaving Team Canada's camp. I think they would do that.
I agree with you, but I wouldn't go to the games. You can go to the USA Latvia game.
Listen, Switzerland Denmark is going to be a humdinger on the 26th, right before Russia Sweden. So it's an interesting story, and I'll be curious, really curious, to see where it goes from this
point. That's the weirdest story ever.
So then people said, well, will it come out on direct to video? Will it be one of these movies that all of a sudden on pay-per-view, on demand, it's available for $19.99 on Monday? Well, a lot more people were going to get it than otherwise, right? Yes. Make sense?
Yes.
All right. Let's 550. Let's do now and then, this date in history on December 18th.
Now and then, a hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history. I'll be back in
time. So we're exactly 7 days out from Christmas Day. Kids counting down the days. We have our staff Christmas celebration today. Maybe it's only a holiday celebration. It might not go as far as being a Christmas celebration. You're going to go. I'm going to go.
Yeah. Get in the way. Getting the wife to pick the kid up from school, hopefully. So I'll
hopefully. Something you might want to make sure. Like, that seems to be the kind of thing you
I know.
You know.
But it's one of those
things.
She might
get him. She might not. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. He might still be there at 5 p.m.
Might have a lot of work. Then I have to do
it. I know.
Then I can't.
Then you can't. Then you can't only stay so
right.
long. You can only have some crackers and cheese. Not all of it.
Oh, I can go to town on those spreads. Do you get your wife something yet?
No. She's actually, yeah, that's not true. I did, but I need one more. I'm in early. Well, you know, men don't shop till the last minute. Horribly hurtful stereotype. Makes me scared.
Mostly true. That's what's.
That's kind of true. Stereotype. I'm sorry.
December
stereotypes are.
December the 18th, 1932 was the first ever NFL playoff game. Bears beat the Plymouth Spartans 9-0.
The Portsmouth Spartans. I'm just remembering my history. I think it's Portsmouth, like the former Premier League team.
Maybe. I have Plymouth. You can have. I don't know. It's 1932.
All right. So how was that game?
Terrible.
It didn't have a lot of fantasy implications.
No.
In 1932.
Unless if you had Chicago kicker, you did okay.
Well, what if you had the Portsmouth? What if you had the Portsmouth Spartans defense? Still might have won your game, all told.
Yeah, I guess.
They only gave up 9 points and lost.
Okay, here's something. 1971, the Capitol Reef National Park opens in Utah. Now, we used to do what state have you been to on this show?
Have you been to that state?
Very average segment. Yeah. I really want to go drive through Utah. I find Utah fascinating. It's got all those crazy, the Monument Valley with all those big weird rock formations. You can ski there. They got a huge lake. They got desert mountains. I want to drive through Utah.
Now, forgive me, but were the Olympics there just 12 years ago?
Yeah, you're forgiven. That was 2002. Yeah.
I've been all around there. Nevada, because I've been to Las Vegas. Sure. And Colorado, I've been to Denver 4 or 5 times. I haven't been to New Mexico. I feel like I have from watching 6 seasons of Breaking Bad. I feel like I've lived there for a couple of years. Yeah, I don't have a great Utah, and I don't have a Grand Canyon desire. I'm not Grand Canyon and Mount Rushmore. I know people go to those places. Did they seem out in the middle of nowhere? It seems like you'd look and go, well, it looks like it does on TV. Well,
I'd rather do Grand Canyon. You go to Phoenix or you go to Vegas, you can get there. Like, Mount Rushmore is in South Dakota. I never want to go there.
No,
never
no.
will, right?
Yeah. Everybody looks happy at the Grand Canyon, though. Like, the families, and they're all good-looking, and they're thrilled to be there. They're not tired.
That's just in the
or
photos.
Or thirsty.
They're miserable otherwise.
They should be.
All right. Okay, and Chris Farley passed away on this date in 1997.
First off, I am 35 years old. I am divorced. And I live
in a van down by the river.
Really difficult to guess what he'd be right now, because I do think we've romanticized Chris Farley. His career was kind of going downhill anyway.
I remember.
Right, because he made Beverly Hills Ninja.
That was awful. I saw that on like opening night when I was grade 8 or 9, and it was a poor decision.
I know.
Really bad movie.
One of those guys, I hate saying he should have stayed on SNL longer than he did, but maybe he should have.
Yeah. Okay, quick birthdays today. How about Ray Liotta? I love Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta's great. There's a new commercial Ray Liotta's in for Sprite or something. I can't think of what it is.
He never
says, "Hey, I'm Ray Liotta." You just know it's him.
And he looks crazy. I've heard from stories of people that have seen him here. He is crazy.
He's got a long list of women that he's been through, like famous women, good-looking women. He's
names
always
them.
Traded up.
Name.
Michelle Johnson, who was in Blame It on Rio, started dating her. That was very early on, like 1990 when he was.
That was a good movie.
Hot for money. I'm going 61. I think he's older than we all think.
60 today. Charles Oakley.
You see him the other night. He looked like Charles Oakley's dad.
Yeah.
but it's actually Charles Oakley. 53.
He's 51 today. Ooh. Brad Pitt. What a bunch of birthdays today. Brad Pitt's birthday. How old?
Brad Pitt. First saw him in Thelma and Louise, 90. That's 24 years ago. I think he was 21 then. 40? 46?
51.
Oh, my heavens.
Looks good.
Way off there.
Bad guy in Thelma and Louise. Can't trust him. Pretty face. Can't trust him. Happy birthday, Katie Holmes. She's 36. The number one hit.
If you like me. Get it back together, Katie Holmes.
I've been joking. That's not true.
This isn't true.
1979 is Rupert Holmes' The Pina Colada Song. One of our favorites.
Why can't it be the Long Island Iced Tea song? That sounds better.
Well, to you. You love them.
On special at your LCBO this holiday season. All right, 5:55. Dive into the Raptors and the Brooklyn Nets. I know it felt to some of you like revenge. It's just another notch on the belt, isn't it? And they'll play two teams that are 5-20 or something the next two games. The Raptors cruise on. We'll talk about it with you at 6:02. It's Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. The Raptors take out the Nets.
Toronto with the steal. 2-on-1. Lowry drive. Lay it up and in. Toronto with its biggest lead of the game. Lowry on the board with 16 points. The beat goes on for the Toronto Raptors. Four wins in a row. It's a final at the ACC. Toronto 105, Brooklyn 89.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
That's how it sounded last night. The Toronto Raptors moved to 20-6. Good morning. It's Brady and Walker. On a Thursday morning, we're a week out from Christmas. We're 6 days from Christmas Eve. And don't forget, we have the fantastic 12 days of Christmas. Day 8, it's always my favorite of the 12 days of Christmas. I can't tell them apart. But we give away a T-Touch Expert Solar Watch today, tomorrow, to wrap up the weekend. Tickets to every single Toronto Maple Leafs home game in January. We'll talk about the Leafs with Jeremy Roenick coming up in about 15 minutes. JR checks in, gets up super early for us to do just that. Again, Andrew Walker off today. The Toronto Raptors had no issue last night with the Brooklyn Nets, or did they? And I know the atmosphere was different last night. The Drake evening, if you will. I don't want to say it doesn't take away from the intensity of the team itself, but let's face it, you're happy. What are moments that you're happy only happen once every 365 days? Valentine's Day, a little pressure there, right? Easter, just for the chocolate you consume alone, let alone the story. And if there's some families that screen Passion of the Christ, you can really only watch that one time a year. I'd say Drake night at the Air Canada Center should probably only be a one time a year thing, even though he'll be there Sunday. You just won't have to wear T-shirts of his face and name. The Raptors did get the win with, I wouldn't say relative ease, because I don't think Brooklyn is a bad NBA team. There's been a lot of talk that they are. There was talk last year at this time of year that they are. But they'll probably end up making the NBA Eastern Conference playoffs, in part because of the injury to Jabari Parker the other night for the Milwaukee Bucks, who fought valiantly in Portland last night but ended up losing. But here we are, and the Raptors are 20-6, and there's no stopping them. And last night, maybe it would have meant something. Maybe you want to develop a rivalry with the Brooklyn Nets. But in the end, if you have any level of NBA acumen, you got a little empathy for them. You look and you knew last year going in to that particular series, one team's building for the long term, the other's trying to stash it all together and make a big run. One, you know how you got people that save for the future and you got other guys that blow their money. Get a big check, get a big inheritance, it's gone within a month. You or I might put it away, put some of it away to a RESP or into an education savings plan. Listen, I like fun times. I like spending money on a TV. I'd love to fly off to Las Vegas and hang out for a couple days with people I pretend to know. But the Raptors are sort of on that long-term plan. The Brooklyn Nets aren't. They are spendaholics. They have some nice pieces. But for the most part, you're still looking at a Raptors team that was superior 12 months ago, that was building better for the future 8 months ago. And though it hurt to lose to them, and especially in a home game seven, like 17% of teams that play road game sevens walk out of that particular arena feeling great, knowing they're going on to the next round. The Heat would have blown out either the Brooklyn Nets or the Toronto Raptors, probably in four games, maybe in five. So it hurt to lose, but you still knew that the Atlantic Division was probably going to be yours for the next year and the next year and maybe even the next year. And there are teams so far behind the pace in the Atlantic Division that these games, the Raptors are still going to play 12 more games in their division. And I said it 2 days ago on this show. Not sure they're going to lose two of them. This is a team that's going to go at least 14-2, maybe 15-1. 16-0 might be asking a lot in the division. But when people say, why can't the Raptors win 60 games? Or they say they can't win 60 games. I say, do you see who they play? Tell me who they're going to be underdogs against. Tell me when they're about to stub their toe. Last night would have been a perfect night to do it. And they started off looking like they were about to. Down 30-22 after one quarter of play. Looking a little listless. Looking a little lethargic. And they needed a big fourth quarter to put Brooklyn all the way away. This is a Brooklyn team that's probably going to, if you ask me, 39-43, sneak into the playoffs, be that 8 seed, maybe even a 7. But they're not going anywhere long term. Some nice pieces on that team. You'd want Mason Plumlee to play on your team. I'd want Joe Johnson to play on my team. He's a very expensive piece. He's a very expensive piece. Makes $23 million this year. He'll make $24 million next season. But would I take Joe Johnson on the Raptors starting lineup right now instead of Terrence Ross? Slide Terrence Ross to the bench? Is it their biggest need? Perhaps not. But it might be the most vital need they can grab. You just saw what the Blue Jays did, right? Did they have a huge need at catcher or third base? Well, no. But did they make themselves potentially, exponentially better by making the moves they made? They absolutely did. So it's a 105-89 win for the Raptors last night over the Brooklyn Nets. Kyle Lowry was very good when he needed to be. 20 points, had the 12 assists, and they barely turned the ball over. Turnovers were 13-9 for Brooklyn. Again, you can go into the minutiae of the game. You can go into the raw numbers. Toronto's better by a long margin than anybody in this division. We may have been casually underestimating how many games the Raptors are going to win the Atlantic by. And I think we said 14 or 15 yesterday. I don't think you can win an NBA division by 20 games. But it's not out of the realm of possibility. You win 58, next team has to win 39. And this Brooklyn team is the only team capable of winning 39. And they're going to even have to get on a bit of a roll to go 39-43. Basically got to play 500 basketball the rest of the way, and they're playing 417 basketball. It's not the easiest thing in the world to pull off. 609, minus 1 degree right now in downtown Toronto. Again, Jeremy Roenick will join us in 11 minutes. Andrew is off sick today. We do have, though, the Thursday morning six-pack, and this is how it goes.
This is your Thursday morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
Don't forget as well, Paraday giveaway, we will have Washington Capitals Toronto tickets coming up. Clue number one, January 7th, because after Saturday's game against Philadelphia, it's the last time the Leafs are home. Well, that's Christmas music. That's what it sounds like anyway. And what's Christmas mean? Well, it means the World Junior Tournament, which is why the Leafs have to be on the road. But it also means a continuation of the 12 fantastic days of Christmas. And we have a Tissot T-Touch Expert Solar Watch today to give away to you. Not much you can do for it now, but we've got also five more days of Christmas prizes remaining. So go to the website, sportsnet590.ca. enter the fan club. 7 incredibly happy listeners. We thought we'd only have 6, like, for the whole year. But we've had 7 in the last 7 days. I mean, you hear the show. We've been making people happy. So that watch goes up for grabs at 8:30 this morning with 12 fantastic days of Christmas. Let's turn to the NFL. Item number 5, the Chicago Bears will make a change at quarterback. If you could see it now, last January, they signed Jay Cutler to a $100 million plus extension. I've been a bit of a Jay Cutler fan before because I see the raw talent. And his 2010 season was very good. The start of his 2013 season was excellent before he got injured for Josh McCown. But his play's unacceptable. I'm the first to tell you that. I'm the first to say sometimes you need a change of scenery. You need to smell the trees and smell the grass and smell everything, basically, in another venue, in another city. And that's what Jay Cutler will need, and this might be the first step there. Jimmy Clausen will get the first start for the Chicago Bears and his first start in the NFL since 2010. Remember, he was pre-Cam Newton and was 2-10 as a starter for the 2010 Carolina Panthers. And he'll be saying hi to Dominican Sue and Nick Fairley Sunday. Lions are at the Chicago Bears on Sunday, and the Bears, 5-9, make that change. Will Myers will start next season, not in the AL East, not with the Tampa Bay Rays, but with the San Diego Padres. We've seen a couple remakes of teams in the American League, but maybe no one's making themselves over more than the Padres are in the National League. They may end up with Matt Kemp and have a real excess of outfielders. They agreed to a deal with the Dodgers for Matt Kemp and add Will Myers to that offense. The Padres offense, worst in the majors last year with 535 runs scored. They had a 634 OPS. They were terrible. But we don't quite know what's in it for the Rays. They're going to get a bunch of players, 6 of them, in fact, couple them in a 3-way deal from the Washington Nationals, most of them from San Diego, which, of course, was named by the Germans. You all know why. Will Myers, though, for coming to Tampa, that's the reason you traded James Shields away for 2 years. And now he is off to San Diego. Last night in the NHL, winners, Ottawa against the New Jersey Devils, 2-0. Dallas against the Vancouver Canucks, 2-0. And the Boston Bruins, and they need points, got to win 3-2 against the Minnesota Wild. They're getting Zdeno Chara back up to speed, played a load of minutes last night. And the Bruins actually got a good game from Nicholas Svedberg in net, 35 saves. Tuukka Rask didn't play on the back-to-back. And the Bruins end up holding on for the victory with, of course, the Louis Erickson overtime goal, his 6th of the season. Leafs and Canes are tonight in Carolina. We'll see if Roman Polak gets back in the lineup. The Leafs yesterday placed Brandon Cozen on waivers for the purposes of sending him, we think, to the Toronto Marlies. We'll see if he squeezes through, a team that needs penalty kill help. We know how impressive he was, getting a couple big goals, making nice plays, and obviously on the PK for the Leafs in the preseason, and was injured so quickly that third weekend of the season against the Detroit Red Wings in that Friday night home game. The Raptors, finally, the number one story, improving to 20-6 with a win over the Brooklyn Nets. And their schedule's kind of fascinating. I know there's a lot of people that really want to see big tests for the Raptors, and statement games, and measuring sticks. Well, you may have had all you're going to have on that level, at least until the Raptors go to Chicago next week, because the Raptors host the New York Knicks on Sunday, and they're terrible. And the Detroit Pistons will host the Raptors Friday, and they might be more terrible than the New York Knicks. And then after the Chicago game on Monday, they go out and play the Clippers, Golden State. They play some tough teams on a long trip as well. They'll be gone from December 27th all the way through January the 7th. We'll talk hockey with Jeremy Roenick coming up, but we, of course, want to open up our ticket window. We'll give you tickets to Toronto, Washington, January 7th, and a $50 gift certificate to the Great Blue Heron Casino. We have 3 clues for you to name that former Toronto NHLer. Here's clue number 1. His former Leaf was a second-round pick of Toronto in the 1990s. He may have been wearing Doc Martens when he got the call. Actually, that's not... I can't prove that or deny it, really. His former Leaf, a second-round pick of Toronto in the 1990s. Second clue comes your way at 7:14. 500-plus goals in the NHL. You see him all the time now with the NHL on NBC. Always opinionated, always entertaining. Jeremy Roenick joins us in 6 minutes at 6:21.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
.623, don't forget best and worst rolls your way after 6:40. Busy nights in both the NHL and the NBA. And yeah, we do have that primetime NFL game. We've canceled all guests promoting either the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Tennessee Titans. We had wall-to-wall coverage. We had beat reporters. We had press conferences from coaches. And then we thought, what are we doing? Both teams are 2-12. Hold on a minute. Three more Penguins players tested for mumps. Bo Bennett, we know, has mumps. Sidney Crosby may be back tonight. It could be, certainly be a big storyline. But he was out in a full practice yesterday after missing three games. And general manager Jim Rutherford for the Pens said Crosby is, quote, doing well. We'll see indeed how he looks in the morning skate this morning. But he could be back on the ice at home. As mentioned, Matt Duchene and the Colorado Avalanche in Pittsburgh tonight. That game on Sportsnet 360. The Winter Classic will be front and center in Washington at Nationals Park, where it's usually all about Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg. It won't be on January 1st. The Chicago Blackhawks in to play the Washington Capitals. NBC has full coverage of that. And our friend from NBC, 500-plus goals in the National Hockey League, Jeremy Roenick, joined both Andrew and I late yesterday to give his thoughts on a variety of topics around the NHL. Here's how it sounded.
We want to kind of start with the Boston Bruins. We were talking on the show a couple days ago about how windows open and close for teams. You've lived it. You've seen it. The Bruins have a cup. They've been to another final. Char is back, and a lot of people thought Zdeno Chara coming back, JR, would sort of be that magic fix, but they're still having trouble scoring goals. They're still getting great goaltending. Do you think they're more a bubble playoff team in the East, or do you just say, listen, there's 50 games left, fellas. There's no need to worry. The Bruins are still the Bruins. How do you view that particular team?
That's a tough one. I think Bruins are they're in a peculiar situation. They're battling the injury bug all year, obviously. Having Char out was really tough, but it's the goal scoring that's the issue for them. They are the Bruins, but you can't fall too far behind and too far back and expect to come back. I mean, you saw Detroit do it last year. Detroit, everybody thought Detroit was going to be out, and next thing they turn it on and make the playoffs. And Boston, you know, probably has a pretty good chance of doing that. But it's I'd be nervous if I was a Boston Bruins fan right now because they just can't seem to put the puck in the net. A lot of young guys that aren't pulling the weight right now.
Well, and there's almost a comparison on the other side from people here in Toronto. I think people just assume that the Bruins are going to figure it out because they're the Bruins, and there's a lot of fans in this market, Jeremy, that they refuse to buy in on this Leafs team because they're used to being let down. But when you sit up there and you're watching how this Toronto team plays right now, yeah, they probably play a little more loose than you think. But, man, are they scoring a ton of goals more than anybody else in the National Hockey League. Is it okay for Leaf fans to get somewhat excited about this team?
Well, listen, let's hope history, you know, you learn from history and you learn from your past seasons. And if Toronto, if the team, the players in Toronto know anything, they know that they could get things swiped out from underneath them very quickly. I mean, especially the way they finished last year, losing what, 12-14 and missing the playoffs. So they have to keep their pedal to the metal, and they are playing really good hockey. I think defensively they're stronger. I think their goaltending as of late has been good, but you know, watching Kadri play lately has really has impressed me. You know, get a little bit more scoring to help Kessel and Van Riemsdyk has been strong. So, they're rolling on all cylinders right now. I mean, I just remember a month ago everybody was complaining because how bad they were playing. So, they just have to make sure that they don't go into any of these big slumps. They just keep winning. You know, 2 out of 3. 2 out of 4, and they'll be fine right now. But they're impressive right now. Really good speed team. That's why I think they're scoring a lot of goals, because their speed is pretty tough to control.
An amazing career, Jeremy Roenick, joining us on Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, the 513 goals. You can always see him on NHL and NBC coverage. Yeah, you mentioned that with Kadri, and it's one of those funny things because people would look and say, well, a year ago at this time, it felt like they were shopping him, felt like they were peddling him. It clicked for you very early on in your NHL career, but you must have played with players, JR, who line mates maybe even, who you'd say, boy, they're not the same player they were 2 years ago. Thank goodness the Hawks or the Coyotes or whoever you're with, Philadelphia, thank goodness we didn't give up on that player and sell him for pennies on the dollar. And we're seeing that right now with Nazem. There are probably, like I said, players you played with like that.
Yeah, without question. I think, I was blessed with playing with great players. There's no question about it. I was a greedy player and put in the hard work, that's for sure. But I definitely had the pleasure of having Hall of Famers, on either side of me. Kadri didn't, but he also had that reputation of being a partier, of not being all in, not being the hardest worker. And you're right. I think, he's got a couple guys in his line right now that are hard workers. Daniel Winnick is a very good friend of mine, and I know him very well. And he's going to make you accountable to how you're playing. And he's going to back you up when you make mistakes. And that's a perfect kind of mentality for a kid like Kadri. So I hope he keeps going because he's exciting to watch. Scored another beautiful goal last night. So it's, I'd like to see the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs because it's an original six team, a team that, I've enjoyed playing against and watching, and I think it's good for the league.
It is a tricky thing to evaluate too, isn't it, though? Because you look at Kadri, and it's because of the era we live in where players are getting paid big bucks really early, way more than in your day. And you look at a guy like Nazem Kadri, and if his goal, if his want is, hey, I want to see a 5 or a 6 at the front end of my paycheck for next year when I need a contract, the way to do that, fairly or unfairly, is getting a ton of points. But for the Leafs to be successful, he has to be more that two-way guy, and maybe the huge point totals won't be there. Is that a difficult thing for the young players to kind of buy into these days?
It is, and I think that's it's a different mentality with players these days. And I think I always say I don't believe that the players are as tough or as mentally tough nowadays as they were 20 years ago. And I say that because 20 years ago we had to work every night for our salaries. We had to bang it out year after year to get the big money. Nowadays these kids are getting big money fast, and it's easy to take nights off. It's easy to let that little injury become a big injury and stay out 10 days instead of 4 days and get paid lots of money. And now Kadri's up in a place where there's a lot of attention. There's a lot of media attention. There are a lot of eyes on him, and he's not going to be able to escape. He's not going to be able to hide from anything and how he plays. It's put points up. It's doing things defensively, and you have to do it night in, night out, or you're not going to get paid the big money. And it's not just 1 year. You're not going to have an Alexander Semin have one big year, get a big contract, and then never see him again. So it's not, you can't do that in Toronto.
Jeremy Roenick joining us on Brady and Walker. Want to ask you about the Blues and their goaltending situation. Last year at this time, tons of rumors, it wasn't going to be good enough with Yaroslav Halak and Brian Elliott. They were out shopping. They end up landing Ryan Miller. We know what happened. They won the first two games. Hawks win the next four, and Ryan would be the first to say that he wasn't good enough in that series. So all of a sudden now, with the Elliott injury, they're not sure about Jake Allen. Martin Brodeur is playing some games there. Do you still look at the Blues, Jeremy, and say they're the one team among all these contenders who they look too unsettled in net? They look way more unsettled than anybody else we're going to talk about. Chicago, San Jose, L.A., Boston, Pittsburgh. Everybody knows who their keeper is. St. Louis doesn't.
Yeah, and I think that bothers them tremendously. And I was there in training camp doing some NBC work, and all the guys that I talked to, every single one of them, without hesitation, said this was their best team that they've had all year. We just don't know. We question what's going to happen with our goaltending.
Yeah.
Every single one of them said our defense is great, our forwards are great, but the goaltending worries us a little bit. We just don't know who's going to be in there for the long haul. You know, Elliott's been good. Now he's injured. You know, you bring in a Hall of Famer like Brodeur. You know, is it a good test? Maybe it's a test, maybe it's not. But I don't think you want to go into a playoff round or a Stanley Cup having to rely on a 42-year-old goaltender. It's a sticky situation for them. I don't think they're done yet in the goaltending situation. I think, you know, they do have Mari Brodeur in there, but I would not be surprised if something happens towards the end of the year to get somebody more solid. But I'm sure that people in St. Louis are questioning it, and unfortunately, you know, you have to go with what you go with. But, you know, hopefully Marty can put some good games together and Elliott can come back and be that number one goaltender and hold the fort for him. But, boy, the goaltending has been their problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody else in front of them has not been like they were last year when Ryan Miller was at net, because I thought when Ryan Miller was in net, they played terrible in front of him in the playoffs, unfortunately.
Great stuff from Jeremy Roenick on Braden Walker this morning. Don't forget the 15 NHL Winter Classic. It's at Nationals Park where the Washington Capitals will host the Chicago Blackhawks on NBC New Year's Day. Such a tradition now. JR, thanks so much for this. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. We appreciate the time. Our listeners do too. We love having you on. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Always good being on with you guys. Thanks.
Take care. Jeremy Roenick joining us on Brady and Walker at 6:35. He's right about the Blues. I mean, that was a leading question, wasn't it, from the witness. But the St. Louis Blues are that one team, that one contender. You tell me who's starting game one of the playoffs. And we didn't know last year at this time, thus the Ryan Miller trade. And you can only make that deal so many years. In the cap world, you can't make that deal 2 years in a row, that's for sure. And there isn't a Ryan Miller that's going to move this year. And there isn't a Roberto Luongo. You want an extra year of Cam Ward? I'm not sure you do, because Cam Ward's not any better than Brian Elliott or Jake Allen when healthy. Stats bear that out. The Leafs may see Cam Ward tonight. We'll talk more about the Leafs and Canes coming up. We are going to do best and worst. We're also going to tell you about the trouble Tom Brady's in. Or is he? With the FCC, not the FBI.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
6:44, Greg Brady here. Andrew Walker is not out ill today. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have Turbo 10, of course, and another of the 12 days of Christmas. I'd love to get some Christmas music. Right? Can we toss up some Christmas music? I saw this story and I thought, what says the holidays more than this little story? It is from England. This didn't happen while I was just there last weekend. But you know how you get in a cab, and what's the biggest concern you've got? You don't want to leave anything in the cab. Like, you don't even want to forget a cup of coffee in the cab. It makes you angry when you leave anything in a taxi. And people leave their wallets, their cell phones, their own car keys. Well, a cab driver took a family's Christmas tree as ransom when a 19-year-old woman, not a girl, she's 19, be responsible, had no money to pay for her fare. She got home. It was about a half-hour cab ride. Owed £15. That's like $22. So she owed about $22 to the cab driver. Got back at 1:30. Oh, I don't have any money. And in any other circumstance in life, like if you don't have money, you can't book a hotel room. You don't get to go to the hotel room and then come down to the front desk and go, guess what? Hey, the towels were great. I love the thread count of the sheets, but I have no cash. Oh, it doesn't work that way. You want to order some Boston pizza? They'll come to your door. You can't go, hey, listen, I'm going to pay you tomorrow for this. It smells great, but I'm going to give you the cash tomorrow. But a cab, it's about the only thing in life now you don't pay in advance for. I guess a restaurant meal. I guess there's that. But the woman, Jody Slater, owed the money. She went inside to get the rest of her money. She didn't have enough from her mom at 1:30. That's a really responsible young lady, isn't it? Mom, wake up. It's 1:30. I need money for the cab. I blew it all at the bar. But when they came out, the driver had gone. Oh, okay. Well, you know, I guess he couldn't wait. No loss. I don't have to pay for the cab. The next morning, the family stunned to discover the new 6-foot Christmas tree they'd left out to dry on their porch had disappeared. She called the taxi firm, who admitted the driver had taken the tree and said it would only get the tree back when the fare was paid. You got to do what you got to do. I mean, some people are probably, hey, what a jerk cab driver. It's only 7 days before Christmas. Tree prices will go up. I don't think so. That's a pretty resourceful guy right there. Now you have a Christmas. You've saved the firm money for the Christmas tree. Every business has to go out and buy a Christmas tree. You can't be a Scrooge about Christmas trees or decorations. Jody's a waitress. The 19-year-old young lass said, quote, "It's funny now, but in the morning when we discovered what had happened, we were a bit upset. The driver must have gone to a lot of trouble to take it. He'd have had to fold the seats down." Money was paid. The tree was returned. I guess drivers take cell phones. I have not been in this situation where I have not had enough money to climb out of a taxi and I guess feel good about myself. Sometimes I've had to go in and say, hey, can you stop at an ATM? I need money. You let the guy know that you're going to be honest about it. I understand cab drivers who zoom past four drunk-looking dudes stumbling around in snowbanks. See it all the time. Just stand on any busy street in any city, in any town at 1:45. And I don't mind if cab drivers are going to be discriminatory about who they pick up. Discriminate, let's say, about who they pick up and who they don't. I mentioned this Tom Brady thing, 6:48, by the way, -1 degree, up to a high of zero later. We'll have another chance for you to qualify for those Toronto-Washington tickets January 7th when Toronto finally returns to the Air Canada Centre after this long trip. They host the Flyers, by the way, the Leafs do, on Saturday. But Tom Brady, people might remember it was the Packers game back on U.S. Thanksgiving weekend. Remember the big showdown game at Lambeau Field Sunday? It was a great game. Pats and Packers. And the CBS cameras got in a little bit on Tom Brady. And it wasn't actually anything Brady did on the field. I think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers earned sort of the clinching first down. Brady knew he wasn't going to get the ball back. And he just let about four F-bombs go in a row. He didn't even like there's dropping the F-bomb and then there's putting it in sentences. He was just like, he was like a duck. He was like, quack, 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 quack. But they weren't quacks. They were F-bombs. So you can't hear the audio, but the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, got indecency complaints about Brady. And you can get these things. There's a Freedom of Information Act request. You can do this with trials. You can do this with, police reports. It's amazing what you can do when you file a Freedom of Information Act in this country or in the States. So here are some of the complaints. The FCC had an Indianapolis parent write in, quote, "Their six-year-old child knows how to read lips, even if there is no sound. The viewer wondered why CBS twice went out of its way to show Tom Brady screaming the F-word on national TV. Go to a playground. Go out to recess at lunch hour. You can even come to my kids' elementary. You know what? Don't do that, actually. I was going to give you directions. Don't do that. Please don't. I'm begging you. A Pennsylvania grandparent reported, quote, "My eight-year-old grandson was watching the game with me and even commented that he should not have said that." Well, you're raising your kid right. That's good. The complainant added, "I understand the first time it happened that the cameraman would not have expected that, but to keep the camera on Brady as he kept yelling was uncalled for." An Iowa resident criticized CBS broadcasters who, quote, "called attention to it by prefacing the clip they showed with Brady's reaction after failing to pick up a first down in that series. They clearly knew he was saying it. So did my 10-year-old son." I remember watching the Janet Jackson Nipplegate thing live. And it was one of those surreal moments. That is a very much, like, think about Super Bowls. Janet Jackson, Nipplegate. I'm sitting there with my then fiance. Fiance at the time. We were engaged. It's true. And we were like, that didn't really just happen. And we'd just gotten one of those TiVo products in the States. And you had to back up. But it happened so fast. And for the most part, how many people were, it felt like the whole world was offended by it. And then there were all these laws changed, all these different, it's a big reason why Howard Stern got off terrestrial radio and went to Sirius. And he was able to say what he wanted. Trust me, I was doing a morning show at the time, and you had this whole new list of guidelines. And the company I worked for at the time said, guess what? If you get sued for something you say, you are absolutely on your own. And all of us said, we're not signing it. If you want us to go out, walk ourselves out to the edge a little bit, you're going to have to fish us back occasionally. And the documentation was all based on Nipplegate. But there you go. Three complaints. How many people were watching that game at that given time? 28 million people, maybe. And three people thought to get a hold of the FCC and let them know they didn't like Tom Brady swearing. And that's about it. What? And we're listening more to those three people in this day and age than we are the other 27,999,997 people. 6:52, let's do a quick best and worst.
Best.
Mark Gasol.
And worst.
Mark Frazier.
With Brady and Walker.
I was kind of going Andrew Luck, Andrew Walker this morning. But whatever, I mean, you know, whatever floats your boat, that's okay. Best win, let's give it to the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't know, Western Conference NBA. Some of you are saying, hey, everybody's good in the West, right? Nobody's good in the East except the Raptors, potentially. And everybody's good in the West. I'm not sure how good the Memphis Grizzlies are, but they're making a statement, 21-4. They were playing on a back-to-back. The San Antonio Spurs were not. They won in triple overtime in San Antonio. And yes, the Spurs played all their players. 21 points, 21 rebounds for Zach Randolph. Marc Gasol might be the best center in the sport. Honestly, Mike Conley, if he's not as good as Kyle Lowry, he's awfully close. He's very good. And Vince Carter coming off the bench. We've already seen Memphis here. Memphis, very good win last night, 117-116. The West playoffs, I know it's so tough to stay up for all these games, and the NBA regular season drags on and on. It's too long. But Western Conference NBA playoffs are always worth setting the alarm for and getting them in. So Memphis with that win. Worst loss, how about the Vancouver Canucks? They play the team with the worst goals against in all of hockey. No one's given up more than the Dallas Stars. Not the Oilers, not the Coyotes, not the Avalanche, not the Blue Jackets. It's Dallas with Kari Lehtinen and company. And Vancouver can't score a single goal on them last night. The Canucks now have lost five straight. They haven't quite looked the same since they came in here and lost to the Maple Leafs in somewhat embarrassing fashion. And they posted only four shots in the second period. They're now 1-0. And they got outshot 17-4. In the second. Best player Kyle Turris got two goals for the Ottawa Senators last night. He'll be a key cog if the Sens are going to make any kind of playoff push. Ottawa beats New Jersey 2-0. Ottawa now 32 points in 31 games. They're 9 points behind the Leafs and only three behind the Bruins. The playoffs are obviously a long shot, but they're starting to get some consistency. And Craig Anderson playing better since the coaching change got made. And worst player... Well, a number of Canucks could have qualified for this. Let's give it to every starter not named Dwayne Wade for the Miami Heat. They were abysmal at home, and that doesn't include Chris Bosch because he's out with a rib injury. Dwayne Wade had 42 points in a dreadful home loss to the Miami Heat last night. That shows you the West-East disparity in the NBA, that Dwayne Wade had 42 of Miami's points last night in a 105-87 loss at home to the Utah Jazz. So that includes you, Lul Deng, and you, Norris Cole. We're going to open up the Brady and Walker ticket window again at 7:14. Toronto, Washington tickets could be yours on Jan the 7th, and a $50 gift certificate to the Great Blue Heron Casino. Don't forget, it's the 12 days of Christmas. A TSO, T-Touch, Expert Solar watch could be yours. We could announce your name out loud into this microphone at 8:30. This morning. Tomorrow, tickets to every Maple Leafs home game in January. It's not too late to register. Go to the fan club at sportsnet590.ca. Brady Solo on Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.